The South was hotly contested after the failure of German interest in southern Italy by French princes, and then French interests in southern Italy were contested by Aragonese, Spanish we might say, but by Aragonese princes. Now, nobody, I think we could probably say, really effectively, thoroughly controlled southern Italy, but the realm continued to be impacted by outsiders. German development is riddled with paradoxes. The Golden Bull of 1356, for example, might have created a stable, sort of, we might say, federal regime among the various conflicting and competing parties in Germany, and indeed a regime which had got itself out from under the thumb of the popes, who always claimed that they had a right to name the German emperors. But instead, what the Golden Bull really did was create a kind of a stable framework for the continuing fragmentation of Germany. You know, if we think back to that Ottonian kingdom that was the most powerful in 10th century Europe, and fast forward to the 17th century, when there were something more than 300 independent political entities of one kind or another existing in the German lands, we have some sense of the degree of fragmentation in Germany. Now, the individual German regions were often prosperous, they were often peaceful, they were often well-governed. There were lots of miniature Germanies, but there was no Germany. There was no single German state. There was no effective central government. Yes, there were Holy Roman emperors right through this period. And yes, some of them exerted a lot of influence in the German lands. And yes, some of them were able to exert virtually no influence. But a German state, per se, did not coalesce. Along Europe's eastern frontier, there were three major developments that we can point to. Lithuania and Poland, for example, coalesced into a powerful, stable kingdom on the shore of the Baltic. And this would be, right on into the 18th and very early 19th century, a considerable player in European politics. The Russians, centered on the Grand Duchy of Moscow, finally, in the 14th century, overthrew the Mongols. Actually, by the early 15th century, they began the process in the 14th. By the 15th century, they were able to throw off Mongol authority, and then they began to unite a huge swathe of lands that would become the Russian Empire. Those very Mongols who, in the 13th century, had put an end to the state of Kievan Rus, the earliest state on Russian soil. In 1453, to come to our third development in the East, the Ottoman Turks captured Constantinople. Finally, the East Roman, the Byzantine Empire, fell. After trials and tribulations aplenty during its thousand-year course, this empire now fell. Well, it fell to the Turks, who were then able to consolidate a dominant position in the eastern Mediterranean region. And, of course, the Turks would hold that position until, as the sick man of Europe, they were finally put to a decent death after the First World War in the 20th century. The first faint stirrings of the modern state system are there in the 15th century. Ecclesiastical affairs can be summarized a bit more briefly. In the year 1305, a Frenchman by the name of Clement V, a Frenchman was elected pope and took the name Clement V, in the hope that he might be able to settle some long-running disputes with the king of France. Now, in the last years of the 13th century, there had been some really intense disputes between the kings of France and the pope, between King Philip IV of France and Pope Boniface VIII, turning fundamentally on two questions. Could the king of France tax the clergy? Could the king of France haul members of the clergy into his courts of law to answer for what was perceived as criminal conduct, or, in one case, treasonous conduct? The church, of course, said, no, can't tax the church, can't mess with the clergy. The king said, I am sovereign in my realm, I cannot tolerate competing jurisdictions. Well, when Pope Boniface VIII died and King Philip IV was still on the throne, the cardinals thought, if we elect a Frenchman, and if that Frenchman settles temporarily on papal property in the south of France near the city of Avignon, then perhaps he will be able to compose his problems with the king of France. Well, much, I think, to everyone's surprise, the popes wound up staying at Avignon until 1378.